Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I'm your host, Jim Dolan, and this week we're going to continue to preview some of the programs that are available on the new weekend schedule for the Radio Theater Channel, which you can hear over there on TuneIn. Sundays brings us Bing Crosby for some music and comedy. We will have an example here for February 9th, 1949, with this week's guest,
Ladies and gentlemen,
Groucho Marx.
A great and hilarious pleasure to present Mr. Joe Fisco. There must be some mistake. My name is Marx. Why, it can't be Groucho Marx.
Why can't it be Groucho Marx? Is there a law against it?
No, not that I know of.
Well, there should be.
You can't have every Tom, Dick, and Groucho going around saying he's Groucho Marx. Joe Frisco happens to be at Mother Kelly's in Miami by a freak of booking.
Oh, that's right.
I remember now. Frisco is in Florida.
Really? I knew this weather up here was too good to be in California. Incidentally,
yes,
Bing, I ask you a very personal question?
Well, maybe.
Bing, it's a matter of life or death.
Gosh, what is it?
Have you looked at your compact lately?
Compact, Groucho, I don't carry a compact. I'm a man.
How do you know? Have you looked at your compact lately?
No, but I sure will. Groucho, it's nice to have you drop in here in San Francisco. This city, you know, is replete with wonderful restaurants. Big seafood town, of course.
Very popular. I know. As soon as I arrived, I went down to Fisherman's Wharf to see a friend of mine selling lobsters named Charlie.
Yes?
I always wanted a lobster named Charlie, so I bought...
Well, this is big news.
I thought I'd get it earlier.
This is really big news. I'll come up to your room later. We'll tear it apart.
Oh, no, we won't. I didn't buy this lobster to eat. I'm going to wear it on my watch chain.
You still carry an old-fashioned watch?
Certainly not. I have a brand-new Elgin American wristwatch.
Why do you carry a watch chain?
That's a silly question. I've got to have something to dangle my lobster on.
I certainly must say there's nothing more delicious than dangled lobster over gabardine.
This lobster's alive, Bing. I use him for cracking walnuts and pinching old tomatoes in markets.
What about young tomatoes?
Those I pinch myself.
If I didn't know.
But let's forget about Charlie.
I heard your program last week and you claimed you had a bad cold.
Well, I did have a little cold.
Little cold? You sounded so raspy I didn't give my Philco anything to eat for 3 days.
What a bum I make out of carpenter.
That's the wrong maneuver, Groucho. You're supposed to feed a Philco and starve a fever.
Don't tell me what to do. I'm the doctor here.
You're a doctor?
Certainly. My card, sir. Charlie, hand him one.
That's quite a clever lobster you got there.
You want him to read it for you, too? You see, you're delirious. This is more serious than I thought. Crosby, lay down. You've got to be operated on. Your tonsils have got to come out.
Groucho, don't you be silly. How can you operate on me? You never had any medical experience.
No, medical experience?
No.
Why, for 3 years, I ran the used car lot in the new Rexall drugstore. Come on, let's get over to my clinic.
Oh, now, will you stop pressing me, Groucho?
Sorry, I don't do pressing, just clinic. Now, let's go. Get your hat and money.
Just a minute. Now, hold everything, Groucho, and you too, Bing. Bing, I wouldn't do this if I were you.
You keep out of this, Carpenter. I'll have my lobster pinch you right in the middle of your commercial.
Ken's right, Groucho. Supposing you snip my tonsils and I wind up a soprano.
Well, bring her in and we'll wind her up together. Well, let's not dilly-dally or dilly-dilly either. I've got to get over to my clinic. I've got a beautiful new nurse and I'm anxious to start operating.
I'll be seeing you, Doctor.
I
get lucky in the rain. All my patients are in pain.
Jerry Colon, if it wasn't for the short mustache. Oh, nurse.
Yes, Dr. Marks?
So you're my nurse, Connie Haynes, eh?
Uh-huh. How do you like my little nurse's cap?
Very cute.
And these white shoes?
Just beautiful.
And isn't this new uniform attractive?
Very pretty. Now put it on. You can't work in the doctor's office with those street clothes on. Unless you want me to move out on the street. And we may have to if business doesn't pick up. Now sterilize these instruments, and while the water's boiling, drop this egg in there. I'm hungry.
Happened to become a doctor?
Very simple, nice. No one asked me to change networks, so I switched to surgery. They got me just in time, too. I was on my way to Calvert. Now, nurse, sharpen this penicillin. There's never a sharp penicillin around here. Come in. Come in.
Dr. Marks, I presume.
Not Dr. Livingston. Now, Crosby, lie down on this table. Nice. Prepare for surgery. Take the cards off the table.
All even there.
Charlie, take it easy with those claws. You'll need all your strength to snip out Crosby's tonsils.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You're not going to grab my tonsils with those saltwater pliers.
Don't worry. Charlie's very capable. He used to be a ship's doctor on a live bait boat. All right, nurse. Let's administer the anesthetic.
Yes, doctor.
Is that the audience? This is my first operation. I hope I don't lay an egg.
I'd rather you lay an egg than take out Crosby's tonsils.
If I could lay eggs, I wouldn't have to take out tonsils. You can get a dollar a dozen for eggs. What can you get for tonsils? Nice. I don't think we gave Crosby enough ether.
Where am I?
Lie down. You're still on ABC. Give him some ether. There they go again.
Look at Crosby's tonsils.
Where?
There.
Well, I'll be done. Solid gold. Quick, my mind is capping my pick. Fortunately, I'm a miner, too.
Here's your pick, doctor.
Those are the biggest gold nuggets I've ever seen. I'd like to see his brother, Everett, get 10% of these. That goes for my brother, Gummo, too. Just look at these tonsils. This California community property law certainly covers everything.
It sure does. Look how they're marked. His and hers.
I'll have them out in a minute, and they're mine, all mine, all mine! You hear? Go, go, go! It's a good thing I'm an actor, too. Here's one of them. Hold that bucket. Here's the other one. That must have been the one that sold so many copies of White Christmas. Hey, Crosby's coming out of the ether.
Congratulations, doctor.
Give us nothing.
Look, look, he's opening his eyes.
He's opening his mouth. He's going to speak. Well, Bing, how do you feel?
I feel just fine. Oh, yes, I really do. I just feel ever so peachy. And when the blue of the night, I meet the boo of the dawn.
Bing, what an improvement in your voice. Huh?
Doctor, you know, I don't know how to thank you, and, well, I do, really. Yes, I do know how, but I don't think I should.
What's the matter, Bing? You just said you feel all right.
Well, yes, I feel fine, but I'm scared almost into a snit to look at my compact for fear I'm Hildegard.
I'll tell you what I'll do, Bing. I'll put your tonsils back, but on a royalty basis. This will just take a second. I'll snap them right in. There, how do you feel now?
Oh, much better, Groucho. I kind of like those lumps in my throat.
Now, you can use those tonsils all you want, Bing, but every time you sing a song, You'll have to pay me a penny royalty, and let's sing a song right now.
You mean together?
Yes, fortunately, I happen to be a singer, too.
What do we sing?
I'm tired of buttons and bows and slow boats and little birds. Let's sing an old song that nobody remembers, including us.
That might be a wonderful idea.
How about when it's nighttime in Little Italy?
Oh, yes. Remember those little Italian restaurants?
You're scratching my back already.
Really?
He got here early, didn't he?
Yeah. Remember those little Italian restaurants in New York where we used to eat back in the old days, Groucho, like Nino and Nella's, where you could get a wonderful 65-cent dinner? Why don't we hit the song, Groucho? Who's going to take the lead on this thing?
Well, it just happens that I'm a leader, too,
well,
Bing.
Well, go ahead.
Chitty bitty bee, this is what you see.
The singer sings a song so sweet.
The bigger pack of prima donna, she can sing, but she don't wanna.
There's music in the soup you eat.
The soup you eat.
The nice Italian girl brings wine. You drink ready.
She thinks.
You think that your life's complete. Then the bass so deep sings you to sleep, and the tenor tries to reach the sky.
He nearly dies.
And when they bring the cheese,
it's an imported cheese. Once you get around cheese, I'm home, huh?
Remove it, please.
Remove it, please.
It's so nice and
sweet, the macaroni, he's a growing on the vine. You eat a lot of spaghetti and you drink Italian wine. The dinner costs you 60 and you slipped away to 10. And you say goodbye, it's Mr. Please to call again.
When they sing
chitty bitty bee, you leave your home and mother.
Everybody drink and drink and love each other. When it's nighttime down in Little Italy.
Oh, very Ricky Ticky, Groucho. That song sort of throws me a thought. Friends, you haven't really lived till you've listened to the biggest thrill in recorded music, the new long-playing record played by one of those great new Philco consoles. But right now, your Philco dealer is offering you a sensational opportunity to enjoy both at important savings. For a limited time only, you can get a whole record library, up to 80 different selections on long-playing records, at no extra cost when you buy a new double tone arm Philco radio phonograph console. Man, what a money saver. You get up to $25.65 worth of the world's finest phonograph records included without charge. They're brand new with tone quality that's out of this world. And to top it all, they're non-breakable. Now don't let this sensational offer get away from you. Those dollars saved make it more than ever worthwhile to get your Philco console now. Ask your dealer for a free demonstration. Convenient terms on all 1949 models, the finest radio phonographs money can buy from Philco, famous for quality the world over. This is the lullaby that seems to be quite popular at present. I got a deck of discs out on it, and I feel reasonably certain I remember the words. About 4-1 because I got them right here on paper. Tara, tala. Play peekaboo with a star. Hush-a-bye, baby,
when shadows creep, dreamland not very far. Just like the angel you are, rock-a-bye, baby, now you're asleep, miracle.
Up in the stratosphere, wasn't she?
Oh,
yes. That's about it for now, friends. I want to thank Pat Patrick, better known as Ursel Twing, for playing me, Sans Tonsils. Folks, I'd like to take just a second of your time now to mention something that you and your family should know about. Heart disease. Heart disease causes one out of every three deaths. One out of every three. And heart disease can only be controlled with the help of your dimes and your dollars. So give to your local heart campaign or to the American Heart Association, Box 500, New York City. Thanks and good night.
Thank you very much.
This program was produced and transcribed in San Francisco by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judge Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Bob Burns and Kay Starr. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the greatest values in radio phonographs from Philco, the leader.
I've always regretted that we never had a show of our own.
We should have.
I mean, just the two of us singing popular songs of the day.
Oh, popular. Everybody sings popular songs,
doesn't it? Well, I know, but...
Gosh, that smoke has been pouring out of my Philco so often, my living room is knee-deep in ashes. It's going to give the twins the habit, I think. They're going to start smoking Q-bears. The knobs are all full of nicotine, everything.
Yeah,
is...
I've heard that lady from 29 Palm song. I hope a coconut drops on her head.
Yeah, you're so right. Popular songs indeed. What about the unpopular ones now?
Yeah. There must be be thousands of tunes written by earnest young men and women that are never heard. How can they be popular if nobody ever sings them?
That's what I mean, Dinah. Look, if you want to do a show with me, I'll tell you what we'll do.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start out right now with a broken-down hit parade.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. What do we call it?
John Scott, Fantasy Affair.
Your Flop Parade. Yes, your all-time flop parade, featuring a bucket full of dilapidated ditties, which are destined to go nowhere unless you, the people, get behind them.
Don't get in front of them, they'll mow you down.
Your all-time flop parade is brought to you by the makers of food. Friends, when you go all day without eating, do you feel hungry? If you do, try some food. There's nothing like food to keep you from starving. Here is one of our satisfied customers, Mr. J.S. Trotter. Mr. J.S. Trotter of Charlotte, North Carolina. Mr. Trotter says...
Well, sir, I've been eating food for nigh on to 40 years. Boy, am I fat!
Thank you, Mr. Trotter. Now you waddle right on back to North Carolina. Remember, housewives, when you go shopping tomorrow, buy some food. And now on with your flop parade featuring Bing and Dinah.
What's the first flop, Pop?
Well, it's a jumpy little gem, and here it is. Our number 10 song of the week, Yachting. Yachting, yachting, that is the sport for me. Yachting, yachting, over the deep blue sea. There's one thing more I like, that's riding on a bike and swimming.
Thank you, Bing. That was simply super. I'm going right out and buy an outboard motor.
Steady, Dinah. First, you got to introduce our number 9 song of the week, written by a department store floor walker who fell in love with his work. Written by his farmer's shop guy.
Did I take that from the top?
My front rack is just.
Who was this written by?
Okay, mine written by a department store floor walker. Who fell in love with his work and married a floor, or something like that. Writers will kill me. Ready?
Yeah, how did you go?
Okay, go ahead.
Hammock or Schlemmer, I love you. Roebuck and Sears, I adore you. If you want to buy a bassinet or buy a hog, don't be in a fog. Use our catalog. Hammock or Schlemmer, you're sweet, dear. Hammock or Schlem, I repeat, dear. Macy's and Gimbel's have plenty of thimbles. I love you.
Exquisite, really exquisite. I'm sure that's going to be number one on all the disconnected jukeboxes in town.
Thank you, Bing. And now a message from our sponsor.
Friends, your flop parade is brought to you by the makers of food. Food comes in packages, cans, jars, tubes, bottles, bags, and peanut butter sandwiches. Remember, food, and only food, contains vitamins, proteins, carbohydrates, starches, and tiny bright red flakes of fingernail polish.
Never notice them in cranberry sauce, it's a thing.
And now back to your flop parade.
And here is Bing with the number 8 flop of the week. A question that is on every lover's lips. Was last night the last night with you?
Was last night the last night with you? Was the first kiss the last kiss, the last kiss the first? Tell me, has my heart been cursed? Was the first time I saw you the last time? Was the last time the first time? I'm sorry that I asked. Has it the first time the last time? And the last time was the first. And the last time was the last time. And the first time is the worst. And at last I see your colors true. And the first time will be the last time that I fall in love with you.
Dinah Temple again. Holy smoke.
Oh,
Anybody got the time or a change of a match or a Band-Aid or something?
Oh, Bing, that was grand. That tune was written by Jack Brooks on his 12th birthday, which was, understandably, his last.
Early demise was foretold by that. Really, folks, Jack has written some fine tunes, but we just dug this one up out of his past to haunt him.
And now a word from a food grower.
I've been growing food for nigh on to 47 years. I've seen crops come and go. And after tasting this year's crop, this crop has got to go.
Thank you, sir. Now Diane and I blend in the number 7 song of the week. John F. Keeley's sentimental self-admonition to a Hoosier lad who has wandered far from home.
The title, It's About Time That I Wrote to the Folks in Terre Haute.
Oh, lovely.
Though I'm homesick and I'm not in good condition, there's nothing wrong but what a trip won't cure.
Now I ask you, place yourself in his position. Wouldn't you go home at once? And that's for sure.
The refrain. It's about time that I wrote to the folks in Terre Haute, my hometown by the Wabash, far away.
Where he lost his heart one night while the stars were shining bright.
By the Wabash now, so far away. When I said goodbye to June beneath that Hoosier moon, a nightingale sang softly, seemed to say,
oh, come back soon.
So it's about time that I wrote to the folks in Terre Haute and my sweetheart by the Wabash, far away, so far away.
We have alerted the postmaster at Terre Haute, so I hope he don't get snowed under. Pull on a lot of extra help. The mail will be flying in there. Now for the number 2 song of the week.
Hey, wait, haven't we skipped a few numbers?
We got it. The audience is closing in on us. The number 2 song of the week.
There's a miss I miss in Mississippi, where the Mississippi flows. I can see you're in the morning when it's drippy, with the Mississippi squishing through her toes. When I see the first ranunculus a-bloomin', I'm a-going back and banish all my woes. Then I'll kiss the miss I miss in Mississippi, and eat her Mississippi-sippy-sippy nose.
That was Mississippi Moon, written by Johnny Burke and Jimmy Van Heusen, who were kidding. And now, our sponsor.
Keep your eye on the bloodshot bullseye.
Well, that takes care of him.
Yeah. We forgot Van Heusen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you very much. Good boy. Thank you, tardy but good and loud. And now for the number 1 flap of the week. The number 1 flop, the number you've all been dreading.
That thrilling ballad, These Lush Moments. These lush moments, how I adore. These lush moments, thrill to the core. Our romance is quiet and solemn, but dreams keep running up and down my spinal column.
Oh, it's lush music. Lover, let's waltz. No rush music. Plenty of small. Say we'll meet again in the same rendezvous. Let's not brush the hush.
of these lush moments with you.
Friends, remember, your flop parade was brought to you by the maker of Food. Food is the only product that builds muscles, grows hair, and sends neckties to the cleaners. And remember, food, spelled backwards, is doof.
Say we'll meet again in the same rendezvous. Let's not brush the hush of these lush moments with you.
We ought to do it again sometime.
Oh, let's do, Bing.
The one and only presentation of Your Flop Parade with Bing Crosby and Dinah Shore. Well, now, getting back to Bing's guest, Groucho Marx, we heard him on Bing's show. Now let's hear him on his own program, You Bet Your Life.
Ladies and gentlemen, the secret word tonight is sky. S-K-Y.
Really?
You bet your life. The more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You'll Bet Your Life, the comedy quiz series produced and transcribed from Hollywood. And here he is, the one, the only...
Groucho! That's me, Groucho Marx. Well, here I am again with $1,500 for one of our couples tonight. Squire, who's first to try for the $1,500?
Well, Groucho, we invited some real estate brokers to the show, and just before we went on the air, our studio audience selected Lorraine Armstrong. Her partner is a cab driver chosen from the audience just before we went on the air, Mr. Howard Jackson. And here they are. Folks, meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome for the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers. Say the secret word and you'll divide $100 in cash. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mr. Howard Jackson, you're the cab driver, eh?
That's right.
Must be a pretty big cab. Where were you born, Howard?
In St. Paul, Minnesota. Mm-hmm.
Lorraine Armstrong?
Yes.
You're a real estate broker?
Yes, I am.
Where are you from, Lorraine? Are you sweet, Lorraine? Or just?
I hope so.
Where are you from, Lorraine?
I'm from Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Who do you work for?
Franklin Archer, 9216 Sunset Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. You could have omitted that. I'm not in the market. How is the real estate game these days?
Well, it's pretty good. I don't have time to hardly keep all of my appointments.
How many houses have you sold this week?
Well, my specialty is renting.
Oh, well, how long have you been renting?
12 years.
Well, I must say you take very good care of your premises. You look like you have very good weather stripping. Now, suppose I wanted to rent my house to somebody else. How would I go about it? Or how would you go about it?
Well, would you rent it to dogs and children?
If the dog had money, I'd rent him the house just the same as anybody. Well, Mr. Jackson, you're still here, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Let's ride your cab for a minute. How long have you been piloting a hack?
For 7 years, off and on.
Off and on what, the sidewalk? What do you mean by off and on?
Well, when I save up enough money, I go mining and treasure hunting.
In your cab?
No.
What do you mean, you're a treasure hunter? Well, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of vitamin pills. How did you get interested in treasure hunting?
Well, I was looking for gold most of the time.
Uh-huh. Were you successful in finding it?
No.
You know why, don't you? You just don't have the pan for it, that's all. What started you on the hunt for gold?
Well, a Hollywood medium here told me that if I bought into a certain piece of property in Arizona, I'd become a wealthy man.
I don't want to seem overly curious, but did this gold mine just happen to belong to the medium's brother-in-law?
No.
You think this medium was a fake?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Well, everything he told me that came to pass, except one thing.
And what was that?
Well, I didn't find the gold.
Then you should have struck the happy medium. Well, what happened? Why didn't you find any gold?
Well, I don't know. I mined off and on for 3 years there. Finally, I met a man that was a German scientist from Patagonia, South America.
What part of Patagonia, do you remember?
No, I don't. He didn't say.
Well, why did you have such confidence in him?
Well, he had a set of Mexican needles that he took out of his glove compartment, and they pointed to my mine, which was then a mile away.
And what happened?
Well, we went up there, and those needles dropped at our shoelaces right straight down into the ground.
And you found shoelaces instead of gold?
No, I went down 100 feet.
You did?
Yes.
And this fellow was down there all the time?
Oh, no, he left me that same afternoon.
Oh, and went back to Patagonia. Have your needles ever located a mine that had any gold in it?
Yes, it has, the Congress mine in Arizona.
Well, and how come you're driving a cab? Why aren't you rich?
Well, that mine's been operating for 40 years before my needles discovered it.
Could you use some needles like that in your work, Lorraine?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I forgot. You're a rental agent. You don't have to look for treasure. You can stick them without needles. Well, it's been very revealing and exciting talking about buried treasure, and if these needles really work, right now they're pointing toward the big question. Because in just 1 minute, you two will have a chance to win $1,500. But right now, I want you to pay attention to a matter of great importance.
Groucho, tonight I'm going to be different. Every week I've been telling about the beautiful DeSoto and all the features that are new this year. Well, tonight, let me mention a few of the features DeSoto has been famous for, not only this year, but in past years as well. For example, take DeSoto's popular chair-high seats. Instead of low, uncomfortable seats that make you want to get out and walk, DeSoto's chair-high seats make you want to stay in and ride. They keep your body in the proper posture and give you a good view of the road and the scenery. Again this year, DeSoto has the famous tiptoe shift with fluid drive. Yes, DeSoto is the car that lets you drive without shifting. Again this year, DeSoto has big, safe 12-inch brakes. No car in America has bigger brakes. Add to these the whole host of brand new features in this year's car, like the amazing new Auraflow shock absorbers, and you have the greatest DeSoto ever built. See it. Drive it. It's now at your DeSoto Plymouth dealers. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth, the value jewel of the low-priced field.
Let's see how well you make out in the quiz. George, tell them the rules.
All right. You bet as much of your $20 as you want on each of four questions, and the couple that earns the most money gets a chance at the $1,500 DeSoto Plymouth question at the end of the show.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous ships. How much are you going to bet?
$15.
Here's your first question. You're going to bet $15. What was the name of the ship that battled the Monitor?
The Merrimack.
The Merrimack is right.
Well, you're on your way. You have $35.
Remember, you're going for $1,500 tonight. How much of the $35 are you going to bet on your second question?
$30.
What explorer commanded the Half Moon?
I don't know. You?
The Half Moon. No, get it.
Well, it was Henry Hudson.
You've dropped down to $5 now.
$5. Here's your third question. How much of the $5 are you going to go for?
Half of it.
Two and a half. All right. What was the name of the French liner that burned and capsized in the New York Harbor?
Normandy
is right.
Well, you're on your way again. You have $750.
$750 is your last chance to beat the other couples. How much of the $750 are you going to try?
$5.
Okay. Mutineers led by Fletcher Christian rebelled against the cruel treatment of Captain Bligh. On what ship did this mutiny take place?
On the Bounty.
That's right, the Bounty is right.
Right. and you wind up with $12.50.
Thanks, sir. Thanks, and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Here's our next couple, Groucho. A girl from a supermarket and a married man selected from our audience just before we went on the air.
Well, drag them in.
All right, I'll do that. Pauline Hill and Mr. Louis Rich, come in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Well, welcome, folks, to You Bet Your Life. Say the secret word and you'll divide $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Miss Pauline Hill, is that right?
That's right.
Where are you from, Pauline?
From Bakersfield, California.
Uh-huh. And Mr. Louis Rich, eh? How rich are you, Louis?
Oh, rich in name only.
Well, that's quite something. Where are you from, Mr. Rich?
I am from that historical old state of Virginia, the mother of presidents.
Mm-hmm. Weren't any fathers in that state?
A few, I'm one.
How old are you, Mr. Rich?
I'm in my 87th year.
Well, I would take you for about 60, Mr. Rich. You're a very young-looking man. The mother of all those presidents must have taken good care of you in Virginia. How long have you been a husband?
55 happy years.
You're really happy, huh? 55 years. Do you have any children, Louis?
One daughter.
Any grandchildren?
Two.
Great-grandchildren?
Four.
Well, you're improving with age. Any great-great-grandchildren?
Not yet.
Well, don't despair. Rome wasn't built in a day, you know. What sort of work do you do?
Well, I'm semi-retired.
You mean you're half asleep?
No.
No, I mean, what kind of work do you do?
Well, I publish a little pamphlet with about several hundred of Benjamin Franklin's sayings called Poor Richard Almanac, which he published about 250 years ago and still has a large sale throughout the world today.
Well, he was a great philosopher. I remember when he walked down Chestnut Street with a bun on. Can you slip us an appropriate quotation from the wise old philosopher?
Oh, I know hundreds of them, but... let me see. The old man speaks his nonsense with a glib tongue, but still it's nonsense.
Well, are you referring to me, you, or Benjamin Franklin? I don't know why that old busybody didn't mind his own business. That's the first time I've ever been insulted by a man who's dead 200 years. Well, let's see now. I've forgotten. Where are you from?
I'm from the market.
Oh, well, I'll take a pound of cottage cheese, then. What market are you from?
Vaughn's Supermarket, Santa Barbara and Crenshaw.
Oh, and what do you do at this market?
I'm a checker.
A checker?
Yes.
What do you mean? What is a checker?
Oh, a checker.
Checker is something you move around on a board, isn't it?
Oh, no. I'm someone that checks out your groceries and your produce, takes your money.
Why is the prices so high, Pauline?
Well, I think if I knew that answer, I'd be in Washington.
You don't have to know any of the right answers to be in Washington. Well, the other day, I paid 30 cents for a little can of black pepper. It used to cost a nickel. Mr. Rich, what would your pal, Ben Franklin, have to say about that?
Oh, a fool and his money is soon parted.
Well, if you see Franklin, tell him to go fly his kite. You know? Maybe lightning will strike twice in the same place. Speaking of reading, have you read The Ordeal of Willie Brown?
No, I haven't.
You haven't read The Ordeal of Willie Brown? Well, I happen to think it's the greatest novel ever written. Of course, it was written by Arthur Marx, who by a strange coincidence happens to be my son. Anyway, it'll be on the bookstands next week, and I trust you'll go out and buy 3 or 4 copies. Now, in your 87 years, I imagine you've had a number of different jobs, Louis. What all have you done to scratch out a living?
Oh, sold papers, peanut butcher on the railroad, sold books, sold stocks in Wall Street, ran a hotel, traveled at selling little savings banks to banking institutions,
You didn't get around very much, did you?
Oh, well, I've been in every state in the Union. Canada.
What's been your most unusual business experience?
Running a hotel in Chicago.
Well, I can understand that. What happened there? Did anything happen there?
Oh,
that you could,
plenty happened. Well, during the World's Fair in 93, three of us came from Richmond and bought a hotel there with 197 rooms, bought the leasehold and the furniture, and so all our money was put up, and we had 208 school teachers come from North Carolina. We had to make a deal with them for $2 a day for meals and lodging, and the fellow that brought them there wanted to pay us with a check, and in 93 there was a bank panic on and the checks were no good, so he went back to North Carolina to get the money and left the 208 girls on our hand.
What's the matter with that?
In the meantime, the creditors threw us out. We got out and we left the girls there, and I don't know whether they're there yet, if they ever got back to North Carolina.
Well, I wish you'd find out if they're still there, will you, Louie? Because I'm planning on going to Chicago pretty soon. Well, I've learned a lot talking to you two. A stitch in time saves nine, or two for 17. Now you're going to play your bet your life. Beat our other two couples, you'll get a chance at the $1,500 question. I can't tell you how much the first couple won, but George Fenneman is going to remind our listeners.
The real estate broker and the cab driver won $12.50.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected famous husbands and wives. Here's your first question. How much of the 20 are you going to bet?
$15.
Who was married to band leader Desi Arnaz?
Oh, sure. Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball is right.
Well, you're off to a good start. You have $35.
How much of the 35 are you going to bet?
25.
Who is married to actor George Montgomery?
Dinah Shore.
Dinah Shore is right.
Declining, you have $60.
That's a prehistoric animal, a dinosaur. I remember I saw one. You have $60. Here's your third question. How much of the 60 are you going to bet?
$50.
Who is married to musician Andre Castellanos?
Lily Pons.
Lily Pons is right.
Now have $110.
You've almost got enough money to buy that market, Pauline. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. You have $110. What are you going to go for?
Shall we?
$100.
$100. Who is married to actress Elsa Lanchester?
Charles Lawton.
Charles Lawton is right. Franklin Helton there.
And you wind up with $210.
Thanks, man. Good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers.
Thank you.
We asked for couples with unusual romances to volunteer tonight, and just before we went on the air, we selected Mr. and Mrs. Charles Koenigsberg from our studio audience, and here they are. Folks, come in here and meet Groucho Marx.
Welcome, youngsters, for the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Say the secret word and you win $100. It's a common word, something you see every day. Mr. and Mrs. Charles Koenigsberg, Charlie, my boy, where are you from?
Cleveland, Ohio, the east side.
Mrs. Koenigsberg? I can't keep calling you Mrs. Koenigsberg, a beautiful girl like you. What shall I call you?
Call me Frances.
I'll call you Frances to begin with. Are there any more at home like you, Francie?
I have six sisters.
Your sisters are Sikh?
No, they're not sick.
What's the matter with them?
They're not sick. They have six sisters.
You have six sisters, but they're not sick, huh?
No.
What's the phone number of these six sisters?
It's A9222.
Is that a 5-cent call? I don't want to throw my money away, you know.
No, they live in Casablanca in North Africa, French Morocco.
Oh. Well, cancel the phone call. You say Casablanca? Is that where you're from too, Francis?
Yes, I was born in Casablanca.
Well, what do you know? I'm an old Casablancan myself. Did you happen to admire me in a night in Casablanca?
I couldn't go out at night then when I was home.
Now, I was referring to the Marx Brothers movie, A Night in Casablanca. Didn't you ever see that?
Oh, the movies?
The movies, yes. I used to be in the movies years ago until they saw some of the film. Well, tell us something about Casablanca. What's it like? Do they all have teeth as pretty as you have, Francis, in Casablanca? Francis, do they all have teeth?
Well, it's very cosmopolitan. The life in Casablanca is very cosmopolitan.
You don't wear a veil when you walk down the street?
No, but the Arab people,
some of
them...
You wear something, don't you, when you walk down the street? What do you wear, Francis? Huh?
I wear clothes.
Well, that kills the whole trip now.
Do they have the Casbah there?
Yes, they have the Casbah there, but
did you ever see Humphrey Bogart over there?
No, I never went there.
Charlie, how did you meet this queen of the Casbah?
Well, I stopped in Casablanca on my way home from India, where I'd been flying the Hump during the war.
Uh-huh. Oh, you were a pilot in the...
Yes.
American Army and Air Force. And what happened?
One of my friends told me I should go down to PX in a hurry and see that beautiful blonde. And I did. And I saw her, and, well, I guess we loved at first sight.
But wait a minute. You say you fell in love with a blonde. How did you meet Frances? She's a brunette.
Well, she was a blonde then.
Frances, is this true? Did you use chemical warfare on Charlie, my boy?
Well, Groucho, when I was 14, my sister wanted to be a blonde, but she wanted to see how it looked on me first before taking any chances. And I kept on being blonde after that, and she never did.
You say your sister felt like dyeing her hair, so she dyed yours instead?
That's right.
You're very fortunate. Your sister never felt like jumping off a building. Francis, did Charlie tell us the whole story of how you met him? What did you do the first time you saw him? Did you like him?
Oh, yes, I liked him very much.
Why? What was his approach?
Well, I liked him, and I remember I said, hi, baby, and I punched his cheek.
Why don't things like that happen to me? Now, what were Charlie's reactions to this innocent little pinch on the cheek?
Well, I married him, and I came to the America, and I have two wonderful boys.
Francis, you say you have two children. Well, when you sing them to sleep, do you sing in English or Arabic?
In French, I sing
you
to
sing
sleep.
You sing them? Yes. Lullaby? Could you give us a French lullaby?
Right now?
Well, listen, it's my bedtime. I don't know. I'm usually knocked off long before this.
Les chiffons font font, les petits des marionnettes, les chiffons font font, trois petits tours et puis s'en vont. And now, go to sleep.
Just make believe I'm your brother, that's all.
My brother.
Yes. Now, where are the kids right now? Are they sleeping?
Yes, they are.
Are they in good shape?
No.
What's the trouble with them?
They're sick.
What's the matter with them?
They have the flu.
Fine, I had a kisser yet. Well, I'll see you at the clinic in the morning, friend. Well, it's been very medical talking to you two. Charlie, I'm sure that with Francis helping you, you'll achieve any ambition that you're after. I wish you the best of luck to
Thank
both
you.
Of you.
Thank
you're a wonderful couple.
Thank
and
you.
Beautiful besides. Now, let's see how you're going to make out in the battle for the $1,500. You run your $20 into more than our other couples. I can't tell you how much they won, but George is going to remind our listeners.
The girl from the supermarket and the married man are leading with $210.
Here we go. Let's see how high I can build you $20. You selected United States war heroes. How much are you going to bet?
15.
15, huh? One of the heroes of World War I was a sergeant who captured practically an entire company of Germans single-handed. What is his name?
Sergeant York.
Alvin York is right.
Well, you're off to a good start. You have $35.
Remember, you are going for $1,500. Now, how much of your... Back at the Casbah, how much of your $35 are you going to try?
$34.
$34?
Yes.
On April 18, 1942, a squadron of medium bombers raided the Japanese mainland. Who led this historic attack?
Lieutenant General Doolittle.
Doolittle is right.
You're really climbing.
Strange name for a man who did so much, isn't it?
You folks are really climbing. You have $69 now.
Here's your third question. You have $69. How much are you going to bet?
68
and a half. 68
and a half,
we'll
say.
You know who's wearing
it.
You know who wears the veil in that family. One of our generals in World War II was captured by the Japanese on Corregidor. What is his name?
Lieutenant General Wainwright.
Wainwright is right.
Well, you have $137.50.
Benjamin must have been going to school the last couple of weeks. Here's your last chance to beat the other couples. How much are you going to go for?
The whole thing.
Shoot the white, sir. What was the name of the Baltimore lawyer who was being held aboard a British man of war when he wrote the Star Spangled Banner? Talk it over.
I don't know much about it.
Francis Scott Keyes.
That's right, Francis Scott Keyes. You did kiss.
Thank you, Jeff.
You wind up with $275, and that means that you'll get the chance at the $1,500 DeSoto Plymouth question.
Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Thanks and good luck from the DeSoto Plymouth dealers. Now, in just 1 minute, I'll ask the big question, but first, here's something of interest to everyone.
If you haven't had your car put in shape for warm weather driving, don't let another day go by. Take it to a DeSoto Plymouth dealer for that spring checkup. Here, factory trained mechanics will check the complete electrical system of your car. They'll check the chassis, including the steering and brakes. They'll do whatever is necessary to get your car ready for summer driving. They'll tune the engine and see to it that your car gets the proper oil and lubrication and that the radiator is drained and flushed. These DeSoto Plymouth mechanics will do all the things that should be done to give you thousands of miles of enjoyable, trouble-free driving. You'll like the job you get. You'll like the fair price, the prompt service, the courteous treatment, the friendly smile. All these things are part of a DeSoto Plymouth dealer's service. So don't delay another day. Get your car ready for warm weather driving right away. Do like Groucho says.
Friends, take your car to a DeSoto Plymouth dealer. And when you do, tell them Groucho sent you.
And here's the winning couple, Groucho. The married couple, all set for the $1,500 DeSoto Plymouth question.
Here's where French Morocco gets a chance at $1,500. Here we go. For $1,500, I'll give you 15 seconds to decide on a single answer between you. Think carefully and please no help from the audience. The last European army to invade the United States was badly defeated a few days after it landed. In what city did this historic battle occur?
The British in Washington?
No, I'm sorry. It was New Orleans in 1815 when Andrew Jackson's men defeated the British. I'm sorry, that's the correct answer. So that means the big question next week will be worth $2,000. Well, you lost the big money, but how much did they win?
$275.
Well, that's not hay. $275. Congratulations and thanks to both of you and to all of our contestants on the show tonight. Sorry for the report.
Be sure to tune in again next Wednesday night at this time for the Groucho Marx Show, when the big question will be worth $2,000. And don't miss Groucho's television show, also presented by the DeSoto Plymouth Dealers of America. And remember, all dealers who sell DeSoto also sell Plymouth. Two great cars,
both products of the Chrysler Corporation.
And when you drive in, tell them Groucho sent you. Good night, folks, and remember, just be sure to visit your DeSoto Plymouth dealer.
Folks, here's a reminder from the National Safety Council. Good drivers drive safe cars. Check your car. Check accidents. You Bet Your Life, transcribed from Hollywood, is produced by John Goodell. Directed by Robert Dwan and Bernie Smith. Music by Jerry Fielding. This is George Fenneman signing off for the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers from coast to coast.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.